The Life of an Investment Banker. This should be a good one. From Leonardo DiCaprio popping Quaaludes and crawling into his Lamborghini, to Steve Carell telling his wife that he's okay over 100 times in The Big Short, Hollywood loves to portray the life of someone working on Wall Street. But what does it actually look like? What do you do on a daily basis? And how do you even get into it if you aren't graduating from the Ivy League? Welcome to Declassified College, and in this episode, we'll be diving into a career in investment banking.
Choose your fighter.
Fight.
I'm Justin Nguyen, and in each episode, we will unlock a cheat code to help you navigate college so that by the time you walk across that stage, shake your president's hand, and grab your diploma, you have a job. College is a game. If you don't learn how to play it, it's going to play you. Without a doubt, if you're looking to make a crap ton of money, investment banking could be a career for you. But as we dive deeper into this episode, you'll realize the sacrifices that you'll have to make in order to earn the type of money to buy you a house in the Hamptons, on the beaches of South Florida, and maybe even a ranch next to Kanye in Wisconsin. Now, I'm partially joking, but at the same time, not really. David Solomon, aka DJ D-Sol, yes, he is a DJ, is the CEO of Goldman Sachs, and he earned a small $24.7 million in 2019, and in 2020, he got a tiny raise of 20%. So when it comes to money, these guys know how to make it. But back to the job, because money is great, but how do you even land one of these positions? A quick search on Google, and you'll find a similar answer to how our first guest, Andy, landed his job.
So in banking, you usually intern first before you are accepted for a full-time position. And so for me, I mainly got my internship through a combined master's degree. This was very beneficial because it allowed me to have an advantage during recruiting, and not only from an academic perspective, but from a relationship standpoint, where our program was fortunate to have relationships with many banks. And this allowed me to be able to interview and recruit directly with those banks instead of having my name dropped into a application pool with thousands of other applicants. So this was a huge benefit.
Go to a good school, network with the best, do really well at your internship, and bam, if you're lucky, you can get a good job offer at a large corporation doing some investment banking like Andy. But what if you don't go to a top 20 business school? That's why I wanted to share one of my friend's stories with you. Most of the time, my intros are short, but I need to add some context to his story so that it makes sense when you hear from him. In college, he joined the Young Investors Club, and after quickly becoming the vice president, senior analyst, and PR chair, he realized that he didn't like the idea that he was placing his money with his stock purchases and didn't have any control on how the company performed. That's what led him to private equity. Like I said, this is a longer intro than most, but I promise you, there's a reason. Stay with me here. That led him to create the Private Equity and Venture Capital Club at UCF. All of this experience led him to get a job opportunity with the venture-backed startup Luminar Technologies. Luminar creates hardware and software for self-driving cars, and since he was an early member on their finance team, he created a lot of the foundation for their financial modeling. Basically, he got extremely good at using Microsoft Excel. From all of these insights with his work at Luminar, he partnered up with a friend who was working in venture capital to start a consulting business that helps startups raise money. And all of that leads us to this.
My current VP ended up speaking at my club and then somehow discovering that I existed, heard that I had developed decent Excel skills through Luminar, and that I was interested in doing investment banking type work through our consulting business. One thing led to another, and he reached out to me on LinkedIn and offered me a job. The reason I tell this story and the tidbit that is helpful is that if you think something is interesting, go ahead and do it, no matter what it means. If you think stock trading is interesting, join a club, do some virtual trading, throw some actual money in. If you think that private equity and venture capital is exciting, then go ahead, start a club, start networking. If you're interested in helping companies raise capital, then go find that guy developing some cool app who has no idea what the heck he's doing on the financial side and offer to build him a model, offer to do something. Just don't wait for an employer to tell you that you can. Start doing it today. And then by doing this, one, you'll learn what you don't like I did with trading stocks. And two, you'll make a name for yourself in the community and discover things that you do like and discover things that you are good at and get discovered by people who are looking for people with those interests and talents.
That was Ben, and he's a technology investment banker with Lightning Partners, which is a boutique firm based out of Florida. His story is something that I think you may be able to resonate with because he doesn't come from a Harvard or a Yale, but rather a public school like UCF. I included this to show you that it's possible to defy the odds, but if you want to, you'll need to get your grind up. Education from your school is important, and without a doubt, you'll learn a lot from getting your finance or economics degree, but there are a few things that it won't teach you.
My advice for students out there would be to try a lot of different things, because I think this approach allows you to figure out what you hate doing, and hopefully you'll find out what you do want to do.
And
a lot of the employers are looking beyond what your skill sets are. They're looking for what your genuine interests and hobbies are. So I think really developing your personality and spending some time outside of developing skill sets is very important.
The reason that Andy's advice is so important is because of how broad investment banking is as a whole. You can become an investment banker that literally covers any industry. Right now, there is someone diving into all the reasons why the commodity of rice has gone up or down recently. And at the same time, there's someone fully immersing themselves into the world of the latest hot video game, Fall Guys, to see if there's an investment opportunity there. But going back to Andy's advice, that's why you need to try things. You need to combine what you like with a specific facet of business. That's how you'll be able to get through the 80 to 100-hour weeks. The paycheck is nice, but if you're spending 80 hours trying to understand the current price of pork, I really hope that you love bacon. I saved the biggest snippet for last so that I could give you all a warning before you listen to it. It may be the most important piece to understanding what a career in investment banking is like, but I warn you, it won't be like you're watching The Wolf of Wall Street. It's a 2-minute clip of Ben explaining the process of his job. For those of you looking to get into investment banking, this is what you have to look forward to. And for those of you who are just listening to this episode to learn a little bit more, this is why they get paid what they get paid. Enjoy.
In investment banking, there really is no day-to-day because every day is so different from one day to the next. I think the best way to express what our role is to just walk you through what a process looks like from business development to close. So we need to find businesses that are interesting. This includes a lot of sourcing lists and doing outreach to CEOs of companies that are interesting. Once a CEO has agreed that they are interested to talk to us, we put together what is called a pitch, where we try to convince them that they should work with us, and we try to present to them how we would present their business to the market and who we would present it to. Once we agree to work together, then we put together a bunch of materials, including a model, metrics, a deck, a variety of data points that we put into a data room, and then we do outreach to a select number of buyers who might be interested in buying this company. After we reach out, we manage the process in terms of driving them forward and generating more interest, set up meetings with management to qualify the business further, qualify the buyers further, and then we get to a point where a variety of buyers might make an offer. Once we make an offer, we try to select the best buyers to move forward with the process. And then we try to create different dynamics with competition, greed, scarcity to drive up the price and get the best value for our client. And then we move into the legal phase where we take a buyer forward to close the transaction with an optimal outcome in terms of a purchase agreement or a merger agreement for our client. And as an analyst, we're deeply embedded at the lowest levels of actually doing the grunt work to get this all done. We do the modeling, we do the sourcing, we do the outreach, we do pretty much everything at the lowest level and get to participate in seeing the process move forward also at the highest levels. So it's a super interesting job, but there really is no day to day because you're managing this process for one or multiple companies at a time, and it can be a lot. So no day, no client is ever the same.
Another day, another cheat code, and you're on your way to defeating the level that we like to call college. If you've liked any of the cheat codes that we've given out, please hit that subscribe button and give us a review on iTunes. Each review helps us grow and make sure that more people learn these tips. We love to hear from you all, so make sure you check out our website, www.getyourgrindup.com, and follow us on all social media platforms at getyourgrindup. That's GETCHOGRINDUP.
So until next time, peace.